All right, we're doing it without wind this time.
Right now, anyway.
That's true. It is Montana. So, hey, and look at the mountains. They still got snow on them. I think this is the 2nd of April.
That's right.
Although, you know, depending on how things go, people might not hear this until May.
Well, yeah, who knows?
So, well, what have we got? We're not going to do a topic.
Right. It looks like we've answered most of the listener questions from the Tinkering Forum out at permies.com. I was reviewing that yesterday and today, and it looks like we've gone through most of them. So add more questions there if you want. And I know there were a couple of interview requests there, but those are a little bit hard for you to get to some of those sometimes.
Yeah, I think there have been a lot of good ideas in that space. And I think we're going to talk about trying to get a couple of those knocked out here in a little bit. But
great.
I think the important thing is that I've had a lot of people email me to say, hey, you know, here's my question for you. And it's kind of like when we go and we fire up the podcast contraption, then we always go to that thread. And then, of course, the email doesn't appear in that thread.
Right.
So, you know, if you want your question to be answered in a podcast, you got to go and add it to that thread.
Right. And it'd even be okay to start a new thread, but really the Tinkering with the Site forum is where we talk about podcasts. And
Well, I wouldn't say start a new thread.
No? Add it to the podcast.
Because whenever we do it, it's like, hey, let's do a podcast. Let's just, while we're doing this other thing, let's crank out a podcast and we'll stack functions kind of a thing. And then I know you always go to the exact same thread.
True.
Open the same thread and look at that to go and get whatever are the latest questions. You try and find out where were the last questions that were asked and then go from there.
Right. You're right. So yes.
So yeah, make sure you post in the correct thread.
And it's called podcast request topics or something like that.
Okay, maybe it's time to start a new thread. That's just maybe podcast questions for Paul or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, and let's separate that out. So I think this is a good point to point out a couple of things about questions for me. I'll just focus on that. When people, I keep getting stuff in the email, and it's really a big help to have people ask their questions at the forums. If you don't get an adequate response, you don't get enough of a response, or you definitely want to hear back from me, send me an email with a link to the thread, and I need the thread to be at least 48 hours old. Because then if I get to the thread and somebody will say, well, Paul would say this, then I could just say, yeah, that person's right. That's what I would say.
Well,
and then I can be all done and move on with my life.
Yeah. And we've said multiple times in the past, too, there could be many other people with that question. And there you've asked it for the sake of all those other people. And then the answers and discussion around that question can just be much more rich in a forum environment.
Right. If I answer a person an email, it reaches one person. If I answer the question in a thread, it can reach thousands of people. Well, I mean, if you look at some of those older threads, some of those threads that are 3 years old, if you hover over the number of replies, it'll tell you how many times the thread's been viewed. And a lot of them have been viewed like 4,000 times.
And so we've talked about that many times in our podcast, but hopefully this will reach some new people to understand that it's just easier to ask questions on the forum.
Right. And so then I think we've made that clear. And yeah, I'm all out of questions, so yay. Although there is one question that I thought came up, and I thought I had asked that we postpone it. And then today, I'm cruising through the forums, and I see that question. And so then that's going to be the question we're going to tackle in a little while. And that's about schooling.
Education, yeah, or edumacation.
Well, before we jump on that one, I think it would be good to mention that we had an idea, and now the idea has moved from an idea to being a reality. It's going to happen.
It's a big deal.
So we're going to have, in fact, my brother has been sending me emails all day. He's buying a land whale and for me, on my behalf.
Because
it turns out to be that it's going to be cheaper this way than to rent one.
Okay, some people might not understand what a land whale is.
Well, you know what a whale is, and you know what land is. It's whale size, but it has wheels.
Yeah.
And goes down the road. It's like they used to call them Winnebagos, but that's
right.
A brand. It's like calling it Kleenex or something.
Right.
But the idea is that we're going to go on tour, permaculture, on the road.
Right. And so you had a thread about this road trip. Was that in the Tinkering with the Site Forum? You posted
a thread
about this road trip idea. And I can't recall if we put the dates there. When we get back to the house, I'll make sure the dates are in there. But we're looking at the last 2 weeks of August and the first week of September as a road trip down from Washington through Oregon, California, and then back up through Arizona, maybe Utah.
Right. So we'll go as far south as San Diego, and we'll visit my cousin Jade, although he doesn't know it yet.
Does he listen to your podcast?
I don't think so.
He used to talk to you almost every day that he commuted to work. So, maybe he substituted live conversations with podcast conversations.
So, yeah, maybe that would be a different podcast thing to set up at some point and get Jade on the phone and all about how to get by in the corporate whore world. So I'd say that so it's 3 weeks long trip, big loop. It's going to be me and you and Jeff Badnock on the whole trip for sure. Jimmy Pardo is going to go with us for some of it, and he's the guy that does the music for the videos. And I'm going to be putting out a YouTube video with Buffalo and Jimmy Pardo's music soon. I got the signed thing from Jimmy to be able to use it on YouTube. And his new song is "We're All a Bunch of Fucking Weirdos," and I think it's an awesome song. It's really great.
It works great with your Buffalo footage.
Yeah, it does. It looks good. I enjoy it. I think it's going to be fun. But he's going to join us for at least part of the trip. And then, let's see, when we posted the thread, the idea was, is there anybody out there that wants to join us for the trip and, like, go from site to site and see the interesting things we're going to go see? And I didn't feel like there was a lot of response to that.
There wasn't. Well, we didn't put dates, and we're planning fairly early. And I think a lot of times people already have their vacations booked in advance for their summer, some people. So, I don't know. We'll get some more details out there and bump that thread back up, and maybe we'll get some more interest. We will be visiting some amazing places, and we still have some more details to line up in that space, too.
I need to call a couple of these folks that we're going to go see and ask them if it's okay if we stop by. I think that we're going to have a lot of podcast opportunity with a lot of the big players in the permaculture world, and video opportunity. And I would think that we should be able to get at least a few people to go with us, to help split the gas.
Yeah.
And stuff. Because we decided to go with a land whale because that way at least you could get work done while we go down the road. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to take time off from work to do this.
Yeah.
And
Well, and then also it just seems a little more efficient time-wise. There's so many places we want to hit that if we had to line up a hotel or even a campsite, you know, it would be a lot of, okay, we've got to haul our luggage in, haul our luggage out, pack the tent, unpack the tent. And this way we can just focus on going places and seeing cool things.
Right. I like, and Jeff, of course, offered to drive, do most of the driving. And the way it was described to me that made me think it was really cool was the idea that you go to sleep in one town and you wake up in the next town. You know, I was thinking, wow, that sounds awesome. So, we have had one big response we've had is a ton of people saying, stop by our place. Stop by here. And is there any chance you can present in this town and stuff like that? And I kind of think that that would be all good. In fact, if I've been getting paid to present, and so I think that would be awesome to kind of help foot the bill too. Is the whole getting paid to present as we go along, and then help pay for gas and stuff.
Should we go back this way on our walk? Or you want to keep going around?
I was going to do the whole loop.
Okay.
Okay. Because we haven't even started talking about the topic of the moment.
Right.
But anyway, all right, so finish up the whole thing. Then it's like you're going to take care of scheduling any kind of speaking, any kind of farm visiting, stuff like that. And we've already got a list of ideas of places to go to.
Right. Our itinerary, I did a draft itinerary, and it's already too full. We have to cull some things out of there so we have a little bit of slack time in our schedule just in case something comes up. So right now there's no slack.
Oh, okay.
It's a little much. So and I think once we determine a couple significant speaking engagements, that might drive the rest of the schedule. But I'll post about that in the thread, and people can private message me if they have questions about that.
Okay. All right. So now the thing that I thought was a question that came up like a month ago, month and a half ago, and we didn't answer it, and is this thing about education. And the question is, and I know that Jack Spierko has talked a great length about this. At least I've heard references to it, and I've heard Jack mention it a couple times. And that is the idea of Jack advocates don't go to college. At least I believe that's what he advocates. And a lot of it is because the expense isn't worth it and things of that nature. I want to temper that a little bit. I do think that there are some good reasons to go to college. I think that they've really jacked the prices way too far up. But I in my college career, I went to a bunch of different colleges. I noticed a couple of different interesting things. One is that most colleges are just a factories for pieces of paper. And the people that attend are just showing up to take whatever classes they got to take, and then they go drinking every night, and they'll just jump through all the hoops that they're told to jump through and to just to get that piece of paper. And then they learn enough about whatever the topic is in order to, you know, adequately pass the test so they can go on to get the piece of paper. And then there's other colleges that I've been to where the hunger for knowledge is so huge that all the students are like they just have to know whatever's being presented in front of them. And it's like everything that's presented in a class is an opportunity for more knowledge. And they kind of don't give a damn about the grades. They just have to know this stuff. Now, so I'm thinking of this latter case being the University of Oregon and Eugene, Oregon. I think when I attended, they had a thing where you couldn't attend unless you had a GPA of 3.5 or higher. And I think that might have been part of what made this kind of culture where people have a strong appetite for knowledge. And I kind of think that that was a very powerful thing. And Another good college I went to was Eastern Oregon State College, which now they call Eastern Oregon University or something like that. I thought that that one was good because it seemed to be that the school and the educators there were very interested in conveying knowledge and have people attend college. If I had to do it all over again, I think I would just go to Eastern, and not mess with going around and doing other stuff. I would just stay at Eastern. The colleges that were more like a factory were like Portland State University and the University of Montana. And those, it kind of seemed like, we're going to put hurdles in front of you. You have to jump over those hurdles. And then when I worked in the corporate whore world, I ended up being frequently in a position where it's my job to hire a bunch of software engineers and other professionals to get work done. And it really boiled down to, like, I would just do a tech interview a lot of the times. And when I looked at the resume, if I saw that they had attended college or even if they had a PhD, that told me how much bullshit they were able to wade through in order to get that document. It really didn't say much else. Just that they are well-trained monkeys, and how well-trained they are. I do want to, before I get too far onto that kind of aspect of things, I do think it's reasonable to say that there is a lot to be had out of college as far as, like, extracurricular activities. I mean, I suppose for most people that means partying, but I'm not even really thinking about that. I mean, there is a lot of fun to be had outside of class, but for me, a lot of the time I spent was, like, when I was a freshman, I was very involved in radio. I did a lot of, I mean, of course, you know, when you're 18 years old, music is so everything in the world. And so that's, I spent every extra moment of my life at the radio station, either on the air or near the people that are on the air and hanging out there. And then as a sophomore, I was attending the University of Oregon, and then I put every waking moment into online stuff, and this is long before there was an internet, but I was like internet before internet stuff, and building community that way, and those kinds of projects. In each case, the college system provided opportunities for me that I would not have been able to get elsewhere.
Right, right. So you're talking about the social and extracurricular involvement. Computer was, that's definitely vocational, but yeah.
So the thing I set up when I was a sophomore, that was on a Deck 10 computer. I mean, that filled a couple of rooms.
Right.
So it's not like something you're going to go out and buy.
Right. Well, I think from what you told me about Jack Spierko's comments, and I know Jacob talks about this with Early Retirement Extreme too, is the big, big part of the issues with going to college now is a lot of people take on a lot of debt to do that. And I think Jacob's folks that follow him and talk about going to school, they talk about doing it with the least amount of debt as possible, you know.
True.
And so I think there's, let alone what you get out of the education and what it shows a potential employer and all of that kind of thing, there's the whole cost of it. I think the, whether it's worth it, whether the debt is worth it, whether even the just expense, even if you are able to pay for it without going into debt and adding costs that way, you know, is it worth it? Does it allow you to earn more money? And will it allow you to earn more money in our changing economy? You know, I think it does show, like you said, shows that you've accomplished something. You've gone through a system and been able to pass it. You know, you've been able to complete it, and I think that is an excellent thing. I know when I was hiring people, it was more important to me to have people who could think for themselves and show initiative and be able to work well as a team than it was if they had an accounting degree. So, you know, it's...
Well, there is something to be said for if you've gotten your degree, you can work with other people to a certain extent.
Yeah.
I mean, you are able to comply.
Yeah.
Which I think there are a lot of people that are very independent-minded, and it's like they are really too difficult to work with. And so you're trying to get things done, and they just don't help everybody else move forward. They don't even move themselves forward. They spend a lot of time, you know, complaining.
Right. Well, and the interesting thing is our education. I mean, I have kids. I have a 24-year-old and a 17-year-old, and a lot of their education has shifted from when I was a kid to teach more of the team working skills and the group working skills. And I don't know if they're teaching it very well. They're trying. But I don't know if they're teaching it all that well. And then we've had lots of conversations recently, you and I, Paul, because my sister has gone back to school and has experienced some rather poor quality teachers. Ooh, it's windy. And poor quality textbooks. But what she's doing is being a good consumer advocate. She's challenging the teachers and challenging the textbooks. And one of the teachers has actually said, admitted to her, "You're making me a better teacher." Whereas some of the others have just gotten defensive instead of admitting that some things that they're teaching aren't accurate or aren't high quality.
So now, I think the important point here is like you're going to go through this education, the so-called education, and you will learn a lot of things, although I kind of would think that most of it isn't going to stick. And then you're going to be saddled with a shit ton of debt. And then you are now prepared for the debt slave package. Before I forget, I just want to throw something in there about, like, I think that if a person is 18 years old and they're looking at what college to go to and what to take, I strongly recommend pursuing a degree in general studies. Because too many college students will change their degree so many times they end up becoming 5 or 6 year students, and then they've settled that much more debt. If it's general studies, you pretty much get to take whatever classes you want and embrace the idea that your interests are going to shift. Plus, even more, I think a lot of people probably attend college because they don't know what they want to do with their lives. They don't know where they want to go. They don't know what it is going to be their deal when they're older. And frankly, I kind of think that the thing is like, embrace the idea that you're going to change your mind several times throughout your adult life as to who you are and what you do and things of that nature. So if, when you go into college and say, "I'm going to get a degree in chemistry," and then you get like one semester in and you're like, "Fuck this shit, I'm going to get a degree in art because of the babes. There's all the babes studying the art, and I'm not so bad at it." So I think at the age of 18, sex drive is probably the primary drive changing your decisions, at least for the fellows, maybe not for the gals.
Well, I recently met a gal on a rideshare who she took a year and a half off after high school and traveled. And she said it was the best thing she could have ever done. And then she did go back to school and got a degree in something totally different than what she initially thought straight out of high school. So straight out of high school, she thought she wanted to go to school for marketing. So she took a year and a half off and worked in the outdoors so much that she decided to get a degree in forestry. And you know, it's, and I was encouraged to hear that because my experience has been some of the people I know, including myself, if they take time off from college, they don't go back and finish. So, but that is something that a lot of people advocate, especially at the younger ages, to take time off and then go back.
So, I think one of the things that I keep thinking of is, and it was something that I believe that, I've forgotten his name. It's been so long since I've been to his website. Rand Pryor.
Yes.
Rand Pryor, I think it was he that once said in the forums of Permies one time, something about like how people that are 18 or 19 could really use something where they could kind of discover what their path is and what it is that they want to do. At the same time, I don't know, I've met a lot of people that were 19, 20, and they did find something that they were crazy about. And if nothing else, follow your passion of the moment.
Yeah.
And a lot of times that isn't housed at school. Or some people have a passion of the moment, and it is housed at school, but it's like $40,000 a year to attend that school. and then your passion changes.
Well, and even this gal who found out she loved forestry, she ended up, you know, finding out that in the real world, even... There's a dog. Happy to see us. There, even with a lot of highly educated people who are passionate about the same thing, you cannot always get everybody to agree. And policy of bureaucracy doesn't always match the latest research and knowledge. So, I mean, anything you're passionate about. My daughter is passionate about theater, and she's had her heart broken many times by people taking what she loves and doing it horribly. Horrible, horrible theater. You know? And I think that's almost as hard, if not harder, as you're coming into young adulthood to see the reality of how hard it can be to make a difference in certain cultures or make a difference in certain industries, and to just deal with the real world challenges. Does that make sense? I'm kind of talking about something really big there.
I want to project the Woofer program, WWOOF.org, woof.org. And maybe take a summer.
Worldwide opportunities on organic farms.
Yes. I think it would be good to maybe take a summer and go and hit four or five farms. And keep in mind that when you go and you visit these farms, that a lot of times the farmers on the WOOF program are just a little ways ahead of you. Especially if you listen to my podcast. And when you're there, you don't tell them, Paul would do it this way. You need to do it whatever way they're doing it. That's kind of important. But I do think that you're going to get to a lot of places, and it's like you're going to take your life and push it into overdrive. So when you're trying to answer these questions, like whether I should go to college or not, what am I going to do with the rest of my life, et cetera, I think a lot of it is going to be answered. You're going to get a much clearer idea after a few months on a bunch of different farms. And you'll get to some farm and you'll think, wow, the people running this farm are so fucking awesome. This is so cool. Everything here is. And then 4 weeks later, it's like, wow, the people running this farm are fucking dumb shits. They have no fucking idea what they're doing, and they are losers. Same people. It's the same people. And what was, I saw some kind of awesome postcard somewhere. It's like everybody seems normal until you get to know them. I think that you're going to find a lot of that. And there's a lot of it at school. And really, in a university environment, a lot of it is utter bullshit. And you're going to, like, one class out of eight you're going to have some kind of teacher who is really awesome, and you're going to learn a lot. And then you're going to have, out of that same eight, you're going to have five that are lame, and then the remaining two, if I'm going to do my math right, three, they're going to be awful. They're going to be, it's like you can't believe you're paying money to attend this, and that this moron at the front of the room gets to decide your fate for this subject matter. And it's like, who the fuck are you to judge me? I know more than you. So, and it's a lot of times it's going to be true. They're going to put somebody at the front of the room who does know less than you. And yet you're going to comply with that moron says because you want to get that piece of paper. You know? So really, it's this hoops through hoops and hoops and hoops, so many tests over and over and over again, making all these judgment calls so that at the end, you'll get a piece of paper that'll say, this is how much bullshit you can tolerate, and therefore, you have now passed a test to be able to work in the workforce at a certain level.
Well, and I think there have been some studies that still point to saying people with degrees do make more money, supposedly. So it's a constant balancing act. I think, there's just so many decisions and choices with that, and we've kind of rambled on about the different issues with that, and I don't know if we have a coherent point.
Well, I think a good point, I mean, I do think that if a person goes and they complete 4 years of education, that there is going to be a lot of stuff that they're going to learn whether they wanted to or not. Mm-hmm. And they've also been beaten into submission for a certain kind of training, and that, you know, a lot of the creative thought will have been beaten out of them as part of the process. And I do kind of think that there's a lot of value in innovation and creativity. I think that a lot of the greats in our world never completed college and went on to become, you know, bazillionaires. And then there are a few greats in our world who went through college and learned that, I mean, for example, Sepp Holzer went through college and he learned that everything he learned in college was bullshit. But at least now when he goes and he talks to these professors and whatnot, he knows how to speak their language and what are the things that are going to make a difference to them, and so that he can now persuade them. So I think I put a lot of weight in what Jack has to say here. I think that most people are going to come out of the other end with a massive debt, and they probably will not have learned as much as if they were able to go and cherry pick what they learned, like by taking maybe one or two PDCs, getting their master gardener training, and a lot of hands-on study, things of that nature. I think that the School of Hard Knocks does teach at an accelerated rate. And frankly, when it comes to software engineering, there were a lot of people that had doctorates, you know, and they didn't know shit. They could not program worth a shit. There were some that were very good. But for every one of those, I can still find 10 that did not have a PhD that were very good. I bet I could find 2 or 3 that didn't have a degree of any kind that were very good. So it's kind of like one of those things where it's like, it's not a slam dunk. I do think it's true that in general, I think in general, the smarter people find a way to be able to get through college and get the degree, because they're told that's the thing to do. And that's why people with a college degree tend to earn more money, more than anything else. Well, that and having been conditioned through all of college to just shut your mouth and sign the fucking piece of paper, even though it's completely degrading. So, not a slam dunk answer. I do think that there's a lot of fun stuff to get out of college. And at the same time, your time will be wasted like never before in college. And it's true, the School of Hard Knocks will train you faster than college. So, but do you have the gumption to learn all this? Do you have the appetite to learn this stuff? I mean, if you already have the appetite and the gumption, it's possible that you can learn faster through other avenues than through college. But you'll be missing out on a lot of, because like I didn't go to hardly any parties ever in college. But I feel like I learned a ton there, but that was mostly because I had all these other projects on the side.
Well, and to try and bring this back to a permaculture perspective, I think what has been a little surprising to me to hear you visiting the extension branch of a local university and finding out that a lot of their field trials in organic ag were 20 years behind.
Yeah.
And then talking with a local Mason bee expert, who's actually a national native bee expert and working on some national issues with this, he's expressed that the extension agencies just don't know a lot about native bees. He's actually doing some of the premier research on native bees, and the extension agencies, you know, aren't quite up to speed as he is on some of this stuff. But he's starting to work with the extension agency, and I like the idea of more people interfacing with universities, which are supposed to be leaders in terms of research and innovation and things like that, with young, bright minds, and I like the idea of more interface and more change happening in there with more exposure to different ideas. And we also just recently, I've been researching how interns can learn on farms and what's involved with that. And quite often, if you're an intern on a farm, a lot of times you do need to be affiliated with a university or some other institute of higher learning in order for the farmer to be able to call you an intern and have some financial benefit to actually having an intern. So there's a bunch of different federal and state laws and regulations involved with that I've been researching just this weekend, that I think that's some really excellent hands-on learning and can involve some, can be associated with a university or higher learning to the benefit of the intern and to the benefit of the farmer who's has that intern.
So I wonder what they're, I mean, that, granted, you just opened up a big old can of worms there. And there's woofers and interns, and there's differences between them, and there's all this complexity. And then to hear you over the last week talking about all of this has given me a stomach ache.
Yes.
And I'm not going to think that the thing to do is you know, instead of calling them interns, let's call them bums and say, hey, these bums wandered onto my land. I gave them some food and a place to stay. And they've been kind of doing some work around here to kind of compensate. And we never talked about money, but, you know, they said they wanted to go and get some hooch on the weekend. And I kind of felt like, well, they did do a lot of work, so I gave them $30. You know, so then you kind of think, well, how does the government regulate that? Where's the taxation come in on that one?
Well, it depends. If you're trying to say that's a business expense, they're going to make you deter.
Yeah, hooch for bums. It's my hooch for bums account, you know, because they did some work on the farm.
They're going to make you determine whether they're an employee or not. And if they are an employee, then you have to pay taxes on that $30 you give them.
They're not an employee, they're a bum.
Well, there is...
Granted, not a very drunk bum, but a bum nonetheless.
There is a category called shadowing, but you don't give them money for hooch when they shadow you. And they don't do any real significant work on the farm either.
I think that the idea is to stay one step ahead of the government. It seems like a lot of that stuff was like, well, if the whole farm earned less than $100,000, then we kind of basically don't give a shit. I think I saw some of that in a couple of things, but I didn't read it at all, really. I just kind of browsed it, and I listened to you trying to
you're
figured out.
You're applying a really broad interpretation to that. If you make less than $100,000, don't listen to Paul.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not an accountant. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lot of things. I'm not. So, all right. So the question that's on the table is: Should you go to college? Should you become a wage slave? And for Jack, the answer is pretty clear from what I can tell. It's like, no, don't go there. Don't do that. And I think there's a lot of value in what Jack has to say. I think that if, on the other hand, if you're not sure what to do and you're not sure what path to take, and then you might end up going down this path just because you really couldn't take the time to look into woofing, you couldn't take the time to look into what farm to get some work at, you couldn't take the time to go and get experience in whatever it was that you really wanted to do or sounded cool, or you know, you just couldn't find those connections, then you might just go to college anyway. But I think that there's a lot to be said for the school of hard knocks and going out there and getting a job in the stuff that seems cool right now. I like the idea of setting up a community and then having it so that you do bring in 20, I'm going to call them peasants. 20, what did, Diana Lee Christian had something that she called them, nomadic youth. Nomadic youth. To take in some nomadic youth and then make sure that they got lots of experience and lots of different things so that they might be able to discover their passion. And because I kind of can't help but think, like, let's say it turns out that you're an awesome artist, an awesome sculptor, and you never knew until you sat down and tried it a bit. And then you just got excited about it and did a whole ton of it. And you just couldn't stop doing it.
Well, that opens a whole nother can of worms that I'm hesitant to even bring up, because I've had some friends who have kids, and I've known some other kids who don't know what it's like to work. And there's a big criticism out there right now of, you know, people, kids just, Joel Salatin was talking about this, that kids just, you know, they play their video games and watch their movies, and they don't help out around the house, and there's not a farm to help out on for a lot of these youth, so they don't know what it's like to work. And
but those kids aren't going to college either.
Well,
the old job of pumping gas doesn't even exist anymore. I guess what do they do? What do kids like that end up doing as career, working at the Quickie Mart?
Right. I don't know. But when you're talking about letting nomadic youth find themselves, I have seen and met some youth who think they're entitled to things for free so they can hang out. And that's a little different than creating cool art and what you were describing. But I just, you know, makes me nervous.
Right. Well, I would think that the nomadic youth would also get some skills in scrubbing toilets and mopping floors and, you know, peeling spuds and, you know, working in the kitchen, working in the domestic stuff. And then it's like, okay, now we're going to go out and we're going to, you know, pick raspberries. So we're all doing that. Now we're going to go out and we're going to, you know, plant tree seeds. And now we're going to go out and we're going to, you know, whatever is next on the chore list. And they're going to, you know, get a lot of experience, a lot of different things. But I also like the idea that, you know, 10 to 20% of all farm labor is dedicated to aesthetic things. And I'm not exactly sure how I want to call it just yet, but I would think that, you know, for at least 4 hours a week, part of the labor package would be like, we're going to make this thing only because it's cool. There's no money to be made here. It's just something that just seems cool, and we're all going to work on it. I know that in The Good Life by Nearing and Nearing, I remember they had what they called soul labor, and that's where people worked independently and on projects that were either very low on the priority list that they handpicked out themselves, or that it was something that they personally felt
built a better world. And I'm not sure quite how I do that, but I think all of these things, it's, you know, and including schoolwork in a college, it's like, you are now hereby required, in order to pass this class, you will do this thing, which when you hear about it, you're going to say, no fucking way am I ever doing this thing. And then when you're all done doing this thing, you might have discovered, I thought that was awesome, and then that's the thing I want to do forever. And now you found your passion, even though when you first heard about it, you were sure you didn't want to do it.
Right.
So I think that that's one of the perks of college, and you know, you'll get some of that in college. I think you'll get far more on a farm, far more working a job that you might not like. I think another thing is that if you've worked some sucky minimum wage job somewhere and you've discovered that that's not your life, yeah, it is time to move on and work some other sucky job somewhere else and keep popping around until you do find something that's going to be a fit for you. And there's a lot of different weird, crazy things out there. So, anyway, we answered this question.
I think we talked a lot about education that may or may not relate so much to some different permaculture aspects, but yeah.
I think a smarter person is going to do better outside of college. I mean, I felt like about a quarter of the classes I took that that the stuff that was being taught was wrong. Well, that's another thing. Ag college. You go to ag college now, totally dominated by Monsanto and the boys. So it's like, you know, they'll even have an organic or sustainable program, which is still written by Monsanto. Here's what you're allowed to learn. And they'll be lame. I have heard of people going to Evergreen and learning a lot at Evergreen. It's definitely a different way. When I visit with people that were at the time at Evergreen, it seems like they were gaining a lot of really good experiences that they otherwise would have never have gotten.
And just for folks across the country or across the world, Evergreen is a college in Washington State that is very non-traditional. They don't issue grades. It's very, very different, the learning style there.
Right. But the mission is that rather than like, okay, we're going to learn English and math and you have to take a class in French or something like that, then instead the idea is that we're going to just pile on a whole bunch of experiences. And you have to do them, even if you do them poorly. You know, and I've heard of some of the things that they've done, and I thought that was actually not bad. That was kind of up there, and so I kind of felt like that they got done, you know, with having gained some real experiences that'll help them to decide what is their passion. That was my impression, as opposed to like, hope you find your passion while you're learning French. So I don't know. I guess I haven't given a clear answer to the question, and I think it is something where there's not a clear answer. It's something that each individual is going to decide for themselves. It does seem like people that have a reasonable intelligence, the default is, oh, I guess I got to pick which college I'm going to go to. Because, you know, they're in the queue for the wage slave thing. And, you know, most of the adults I talked to that went through that, it took them 10 years or better to get rid of their student loans. So it's like, it's you know, some people, and a lot of people, it's like, oh, I'm going to go and I'm going to get a degree in English. And it's kind of like, then you get done getting your degree in English, and what jobs are there? You know, and they all pay suck. And so for a lot of the degrees that you can go and get, they all pay suck. And then even if you go get a degree in biology, well, now you can go work in some kind of lab. And by the way, what you earn, people at McDonald's might be earning more than you. So,
well, I don't know if that's quite true, but anyway, it just...
I said might.
Yeah. But I think we noshed on this plenty.
All right. If you like this sort of thing, come on out to the forums at permies.com, where we talk about what I think you should do with the rest of your life, homesteading and permaculture all the time.